Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out, me and more, breathe in, breathe out, never mind, it was time, number nine, let my lies, feline, with a death wish, be right, didn't have no name on a guest list, hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the show. We continue on, at least I do. A little different than yesterday. Rashawn was here from 7 on. He's here now. AJ is gone for the day. Thanks, AJ, for filling in. AJ, the first of us who will get to see Spider-Man. They're having a conversation in there. As AJ has been warned, or at least instructed by Sean, not to spoil, because come on. Don't be that person. And AJ's not that person.
He's definitely not. I mostly just wanted to say,
with great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah, because he's the first to see it. He has a great power.
Well, Michael has been able to not tell us anything, too. But he's in a different class because he's a reviewer now.
I know, yeah.
He gets screeners. Or he gets to go to screenings, excuse me.
Yeah. He's up here.
He's a critic.
He's up here. We're down here.
He's got the letterbox.
He lets us know.
Yeah. We will talk to Michael tomorrow. He'll give a non... He came in adjusting a non-existent tie. We will talk to Michael tomorrow.
I love this off mic, off camera.
I appreciate it.
It breaks up. Show for us.
It breaks up the monotony. I've been here doing this since 7. I appreciate when he walks in to just to mime something. Michael will speak tomorrow. Not speaking today on the mic, but he'll join us at 11:30 to give a non-spoilery review of Spider-Man and likely tell you to go watch it, because if he's like everyone else, they are giving this good reviews, best Spider-Man movie since Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 2, back in the Tobey Maguire era of Spider-Man. That's what I've seen, and the reviews reflect that. So AJ will see it, then I will see it, and then Sean will see it. Just how it goes with our schedules.
How the cookie crumbles.
We'll all get to see it today, and then we'll talk about it in the way that we can tomorrow, because we're not about spoiling things for people. As far as what happened in sports last night, they did something that people said they couldn't do. And by people, I mean me. I didn't think they'd get back to 500 this year. And they have. The Astros at 500 after beating the Angels once again. And this isn't something that is mine. It is groundbreaking to say the Angels stink. Like, just forget about, okay, the schedule tells you they're a bad team. Of course, we know. But when you don't watch them every day, you don't really know how they get to be as bad as they are. You don't know how the record is what it is.
How the sausage gets made.
You get to see the batting averages, the OPS, the ERA. You get to see that stuff and go, okay, that's a bad baseball team. But then you watch them play.
Yeah.
They are atrocious. How many extra outs have they given the Astros over the course of 3 games?
That's what it is. It's like they're not just bad. They are bad. But they're not just bad. They're also like...
comically bad.
They make losing plays. I was going to call them losers.
Yeah, they make losing plays.
They make losing plays consistently. Like Altuve scoring from first on a pop-up that gets dropped by the first baseman. Just like, what are we doing? I don't know how Kurt Suzuki doesn't go full Danny Glover in Angels in the Outfield and just like wrecks the clubhouse on a nightly basis. I guess because, whatever, last night or two nights ago, he cost them the
game. He's part of the problem. So what's he going to do?
He's
about
not exactly
it?
George Knox.
Yeah, Knox was a legend.
He was.
Suzuki, not so much.
I guess they're both former catchers.
Yeah, Suzuki, not so much. And his ball club, while they gifted the Astros game one of the series, nothing reached to that level, but over the course of three games, it's just like an extra out here, an extra out there. You can't dig out a throw to first. That would end an inning.
Yeah.
It lets a run score. It's all the things that lead to losing baseball. And for any Angel fan that is watching this team on a night-to-night basis, first of all, go with God.
Tip of the cap.
Yeah, kudos. Also, are you tracking the number of losing plays this team makes? The number of extra outs they give teams in a series?
They should have won the series.
Yeah.
game one, they definitely
should have won.
Game two, it's like 50-50. I mean, it's don't pitch Jordan Alvarez, but it's still tied at that point. Even if you don't, and the same things happen. And then last night, that's another one where it's like they made so many losing plays that it's like I kind of think that they shouldn't have won, even though the Astros won. Relatively.
If the Angels are a normal bad baseball team, like the Astros had been.
At points, yeah.
At points, they win the series. But instead, they are a level of bad that leads the two major beat writers in this town to one quote tweets the other one just saying, yeah, they're terrible.
This team stinks.
Yeah.
No matter how bad the Astros are, it's like, oh, okay, this is how the real basement lives.
Yeah, the Astros, when they're bad, they don't hit, they don't pitch. Okay, but the things that the Angels do to lose baseball games, thank you. First of all, I like to thank them for it.
Yeah,
but it's a mess, and we got a taste of it over three games, all games that are starting late for us, and because they're relatively close, we're watching them throughout, and you just get to see.
How's Mike Trout done 15 years of this
and never requested a trade? Right.
At a certain point, it reflects poorly on him. Say that.
Like Dame, think at some point.
Like Dame. Like
all the running from the grind
like
stuff.
Like Giannis. Like at a certain point, it's like, all right, dude. There's enough's enough. Devin Booker's getting to that point, too, where I'm like, so you're just okay? Never okay. All right. Cool. Whatever. Same thing. Mike Trout. Like, so you're just never going to play in the playoffs again? All right. Sure. If that's what you want. I won't tell you how to live, but it's not how I would do it.
But the check's still cash, and living in Southern California is pretty fun.
Yeah,
I've talked about it.
Yeah.
Then he can fly into Philly.
He can
to
just
watch
walk
his
around,
favorite teams play.
Walk around Los Angeles and like. No
yeah, if he does, if he wants to live in anonymity, which some people certainly enjoy, it's a place to do it.
He's not a Dodger.
First of all, he's a big guy, but he's not that. If he's not wearing a uniform, how many people who are going to know who he is? Particularly when he plays for an Angels team that no one cares about. I grew up in Southern California, and the Angels were my team. I didn't care for the Dodgers after a certain point, and I rooted for them, and I was there when they won, or maybe I was here. No, I was there when they won their one World Series.
Rally Monkey.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah. Garrett Anderson.
Yeah, and K-Rod.
And others, yeah. And Troy Percival, all of them.
Yeah, what a team.
Yeah, they were good. That was the time. That one time, they were good.
What a team.
They took out Barry Bonds and the Giants in that World Series. I think it went to 7 in that World Series. So I was there for that. I was excited. But the team has had very little juice since. They made a couple playoff appearances. But you know, the Mike Trout making, what, three playoff appearances in his entire career?
Three playoff games.
Three playoff games in his entire career. And they've been a non-factor for almost 20 years. And while the Dodgers are going to get Scooble. The Dodgers will continue. They have Passan's reporting that unless something unforeseen happens, those aren't his exact words, but that's what he's intimating, that Scooble's likely to be a Dodger.
Yeah.
You know the most amazing thing is that they had Ohtani. That they actually had Ohtani at one point. The fact that Ohtani was an Angel at one point is actually underrated as far as how unlikely it should be considered.
Okay, this will sound, because it is, disrespectful to the LA Angels as a franchise. Would they be more successful if they were legitimately LA Dodgers too? If it was just the the junior squad,
like how MLS has they have teams just named after the top teams, yes, they play in the lower.
If it was legitimately just the feeder team for the Dodgers,
and once their best players came of age or whatever, they got to a point where the Dodgers, yes, really wanted them.
Yes. So
if the Dodgers ran the Angels, is what you're saying?
Whatever prospects are going to be in the Skubal trade, instead of being in LA or in OKC, like their AAA team, they're actually just on the Angels. Like, are they worse?
So you're asking if the Real Madrid reserves
basically
could compete in La Liga.
Yes.
Which they could. So yes, if the Dodgers reserves, the ones that either are young or even older, but the Dodgers just plant them.
Getting squeezed out of the rotation.
Because they just get better players. Like, Skubal's coming, so someone's got to leave.
Snell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Glasnow, Otani when he pitches.
Yes. The Dodgers reserves would be better than the Angels.
Yeah.
No question about it.
Never mind, you get a rehab start every once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Otani's coming back. He's going to just go pitch for LA Dodgers too. They'd be a better major league team.
God.
Instead, and fortunately for us,
I know,
it's just the Angels and the Astros sweep the series. They're at 500. The Rangers lost yesterday as well, so they're within a game. The Rangers have a game today, and the Astros have the day off. So we will either be within a half a game when that series begins, or a game and a half as the Rangers complete their series, I believe, against the Rays. So a good start to the week, and they did what they had to do, thanks in large part to the Angels. Wesneski on the mound last night did not start great, but found his way.
Yeah,
it was tough early for him as he was making his return, but once he got settled in, he took advantage of a bad Angels lineup, as he should, and was able to work through it and do what he needed to do. So that was a nice bounce back to see the resiliency, not just from coming back from his injury, but also from a rough start. We have seen pitchers in that Astros uniform kind of implode as things got tough. Wisniewski not among them, as it didn't take very long for those three runs to be given up. But after that, he was good, and he gets the win. So nice return for him. Walked a couple, struck out four, and is the winner. And shout out to Brian Abreu, who has found his way after going away. Whether you think it was an actual injury or just simply, hey, go get your head right, away from the team, he has certainly done that as he continues to bounce back. He looks like the Abreu people thought would be the eighth man and leading into Hader in the ninth, which was supposed to be one of the deadlier combos of baseball. He has returned to form. So you're getting plus pitching performances from your setup man, and certainly he can step in there and close now when Hader's not available. You've got Peña doing his thing again. He was only 3-for-15 in the series, but he did have a home run. He drove in a run, I think, two nights ago, or Monday? I forgot. But he didn't have a great series overall, but he did have some moments, and it leads to the series sweep. So, Astros day off today, and then big series, and it should not determine what they do as far as the trade deadline is concerned. Really, no matter what happens, you're going to be in the race and be in contention. So whatever is done should just be an add-on, and the series will just determine where you are, either in first or still in second, coming out of it over the weekend. So nice to see the team continue to win. I am only concerned that we're going to get more of Ben Verlander inevitable Astros talk. That's the only thing I wish did not come with this particular stretch of playing good baseball. I know he's already predicted they'll make the playoffs, so I assume he is laser focused on what the Astros do. I would just hope for a team who's 55-55, we don't get any inevitable talk from him.
He did it earlier this season, right?
He did.
And this is the first time they've been 500 since they're
so I can't rule it out.
5-5.
I can't rule it out.
So he has already jumped the gun at least once of the Astros are inevitable talk. I could do without until
they even. How about they take the division lead and then I won't like it.
Yeah,
but at least it's more acceptable.
That's I was gonna say until they've clinched a playoff spot, but I think that's more of a reasonable goal for
when it comes to Verlander.
Yeah,
and his farming for likes and interactions from the Astros.
Yes,
fans.
If they are in playoff position at the end of any day, at the end of the day, not they play at two and have a share of the lead, and then the Mariners or Rangers play at 9 o'clock.
And they win and take it back.
They beat the Angels and
whatever. Wait for the final pitch to be thrown in the AL West. And if the Astros are leading the division as ESPN updates their standings, then he can tweet out whatever thing he wants to tweet out.
I went to his account. Coach Kurt 25 at Coach Kurt tweeted at Ben Verlander told y'all. Quote tweeting a Astros sweep the series to move back to 500, retweeted by Brent Verlander. So he personally didn't do it, but he's doing.
He allowed someone else to do the work for him.
The victory lap.
Yeah. Let's just say it's a little early for victory laps, but the team.
They are playing well,
and big series. It'll be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Playing.
We'll see.
I mean,
do people show up?
I think so. I mean,
it's a weekend series.
Weekend series, yeah. Yeah, I think.
I'll be interested to see if this recent run has gotten people to be more excited. Look, I get it when the Marlins are in town. You're not looking to see the Marlins play baseball.
Yeah, I think it being Texas.
Yeah, Texas, and sure. I'm sure there'll be Texas people and the Rangers fans in the crowd too, so we'll have to deal with that. But all of a sudden, we are talking about a 500 baseball team who is well within their rights to believe they can go win the AL West. And we'll see what they do to supplement this roster.
Yeah, and because Rangers despite, already made a move.
Yeah, despite how well they're playing, they do need some help. The Astros do.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see.
All right, we'll go to break with that. We will get into some Texans because they're back, and there's a lot of comments. CJ sat down with CBS. He had his contract situation brought up by Adam Schefter on ESPN, so a lot to get to involving the Texans and CJ Stroud. And I'm going to ask, maybe Sean, you know, how to avoid a certain segment of Texans Twitter. I will ask you how when we come back.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Let's get to Eric here. He wants to talk about a couple of the big topics of the day. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, I heard some rumblings that I know I mentioned it yesterday that the Astros are closing the deal to trade JP3 to the Red Sox. I don't know if that's true or not, but they're pretty close to closing that deal. And why is CJ Stroud looking like a seventh grader and like a bag of milk on a training camp? I'll hang up and listen.
Well, you did call in about this yesterday, and I believe I tried to refute what you're saying because the Astros have done that. Jeremy Peña not being traded, at least as of most recent reports.
We'll see Monday afternoon.
Yeah, Eric, maybe your rumblings will be confirmed by Monday afternoon, but as of now, there is no expectation that Jeremy Peña is going anywhere. Maybe the three for 15 series turn the Astros off and they'll send him to Boston. Hey, yeah. We got the best out of him. here, Red Sox, we're going to dupe you into taking him. But as it stands right now.
We promise he doesn't have a broken wrist like the other guy that they traded for.
Yeah, we swear.
They traded for someone.
We won't treat you like the Nationals treated you.
And just immediately IL.
Yeah. But as it stands now, expect Jeremy Peña to help. Or at least be around and try to help the Astros win the division.
Yes.
As far as what CJ looks like, look, we've all, well, at least a lot of us, 19 million of us or so, Maybe not that much. People just watched it over and over again. So maybe not 19 million different people.
I've definitely contributed to like at least 100.
Yeah, so it probably isn't 19 million people. I don't even know what the number is now. That's where it was when we started the show this morning. But, yes, that video is not complimentary to CJ, but he's walking around at Texans camp now in shirts, in a jersey with no pads and a helmet on and some shorts. He doesn't look like the guy you saw in
team
that video.
Gear.
It is a unfortunate way to start this cycle of Texans football for the internet. For the Texans themselves, it does not matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter to CJ. And he has been interviewed on video from the likes of Evan Washburn. He's been in front of the media, and he doesn't look like a bag of milk or whatever you just said.
Yes, it's at 20 million now. Okay. And I've only heard a bag of milk used to describe, I'll say, people closer to my complexion than CJ's.
I've heard people called milkmen.
Yes.
For different reasons.
Yes.
But bag of milk is unique as far as the description.
Yeah.
A descriptor of someone.
I feel like it is, I don't know. I feel like it's a Caucasian insult. It's an insult towards Caucasians.
Generally. But Eric cannot be put into any box.
No,
he'll say it and use it against anyone. And the video is not great.
That's
all I can say.
Okay. He has to walk. I assume he has to park his car and then walk into the thing every day, walk into the facility every day. Let's get another video.
Like it doesn't matter.
Try to drown it out.
It's too late.
Or lean into it.
What are you going to do?
Or lean into it.
How do you lean into the video? What do you do?
He keeps dressing progressively and progressively baggier
bigger clothes.
Baggier and baggier clothes.
He looks like he's part of he's juvenile from the late 90s.
Exactly.
Yeah, you think
that's exactly
what okay. And Lil Wayne,
he's just wearing like a fitted sheet,
like the TJ Ford shorts.
Now we're cooking.
Yeah, like that. Okay.
Or he spends 2 hours in a movie level makeup chair, and he applies the prosthetics that Mike Myers had when he portrayed Fat Bastard in the movie Austin Powers.
I think they just like it to go away.
Okay.
I mean, they won't delete the video. They won't admit their mistake.
No, because you can't.
You can't do that at this point. Then, you know, people.
It's so much worse if you delete it.
Yeah,
you got to keep it up.
You got to pretend like whatever people are saying or seeing isn't real.
But if he dressed up as Fat Bastard, and now he then would have to take off all the prosthetics and then practice football.
Yeah, it's a little
maybe
much.
That won't work out. But
and for a guy who's supposed to be in
all about business,
all about focus on football, family, and his faith, which is, I believe, one of the quotes from yesterday. I don't think you can add Fat Bastard, another F, to the mix.
Faith, family,
and Fat
football,
Bastard,
football, and Fat Bastard.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that
in that order.
I think you just have to let it ride and go. You know what? I'll throw darts. I'll get Gruden to shred him shroud, and we'll be good. That's all. And we got a month plus before he can do any of that, as we don't expect to see him play at all during preseason. The most work he's going to get is likely the joint practices. But we're all going to wait to the season to see if we have a different CJ Stroud, which has been suggested by all the comments with how focused he is, not just the words he has said, but the teammates and his coaches. Okay. We will get to some sound later. We've been distracted by Eric's call. That's no surprise. But the question I have for you, Sean, maybe you know better than I. Because it's Texan season, or at least we're approaching it, I'm looking up things, and I get a lot of Texans news, whether it be from reporters or from the team social media accounts.
Yeah, fans.
That's my problem. Is there any way to avoid the Texan aggregators who are simply typing things and using videos to get interactions? Because, you know, I'm just scrolling. Oh, look, there's Adam Schefter on Pat McAfee talking about a potential contract extension. CJ sat down with Evan Washburn. I see that. And then coming across my timeline is a video grabbed from the Texans site of CJ taking some snaps and the caption is future Super Bowl MVP, future world champion. I'm like, all right, cut it out. Is there any way to get away from the guys simply typing things so people will click on, get a reply as they try to make a couple pennies from Twitter.
Either the I'll either get the likes and retweets from people who agree with me, or I'll get the quote tweets from people dunking on me.
Yeah.
That genre of
like I'm looking
fandom.
For example, I got Jonathan Alexander, who's out at camp. Mm. He's got a video of some seven
respected
on,
journalist.
Seven on seven stuff. That's good. I know if I click on it, what I also gonna get is from Texans Domination 34 a potential, hey, he'll probably have the video and he'll quote it. Oh, that's my quarterback. Everyone hating on him should come correct and apologize. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Is there any way to remove that? Give me a filter. What do I type in so I can just get straight?
Facts only.
Facts only. All killer, no filler, as they say. Is there any way? Am I just going to be inundated?
Because I think you're just going to be. Now, you can do the little on the right side, the little three dots, and then, like, show less of this.
Yeah.
show less of, and then there's an option where it's like, show less of, like, this account. And
I know I can mute an account.
Yeah. That might help.
Maybe that's the only way you go about
it.
That's a lengthy process.
But then
process.
You're not getting what the streets are saying about the Texans.
I don't really care about the streets when it comes to the Texans. The streets don't say very much of any consequence, honestly.
It's also very reactive.
Yeah.
If I watch the games, I kind of know what the streets
are saying. Yeah, what do I need from the streets when they've got 17 games a year I can look at and then make informed
opinion. That might be the way.
Yeah.
That might be what.
You know what? It's just part of the gig. I would just like to not be bothered by
it. I do. I kind of like seeing it.
You like those clips or those captions.
So I'm joking about not knowing what the streets are saying, but I do kind of like, because we do get into like a little bit of a bubble.
Certainly.
Of like, you know, journalists and also us that follow the team closely and in a somewhat professional way, in our case, somewhat professional.
Very somewhat.
Bordering on unprofessional.
Oh. There's half a step away from crossing that border.
and we get like caught up in our own like way that we discuss the team and the questions we have. And then like, you know, every once in a while I'll talk to a person at a party.
Positive about the team, right?
Yeah, I'll talk to a person at the party. I'm like, you know what? I've never thought of it that way. And because it's like just not, you know, they don't interact with it on the same level. So I do kind of like seeing a little bit of the
okay, maybe
voice of the people.
Maybe you're talking me down from all the frustration.
It does get annoying, though.
Up. Yeah,
it does get annoying. I think Rockets might be more. I don't know. Astros is also annoying. Astros Twitter is the most annoying.
Well,
I see the least of it.
They've been bolstered by the fact that their team wins a lot. So
yeah.
I know where that potentially annoying conversation is coming from. Okay, when we get back, we'll hear from Adam Schefter because he is suggesting that a contract for CJ is a little closer than. Certainly what felt apparent coming into camp, and maybe that's from the Texans. We'll see if the Texans number is anywhere close to what CJ wants. And so we'll hear from Schefter. He was on Pat McAfee yesterday, so we'll get to some more Texans talk when we come back.
Listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we will hear from Adam Schefter here on the potential for a deal getting done for CJ this summer. A guy who's not getting a deal done is Baker Mayfield. He set a deadline for a deal to get done with the Bucs. That deadline has passed. He sat down in front of the media today, and some of the words he used were very disappointing, disrespected, and undervalued. So that name has been thrown out as, hey, you know, if it doesn't work out with CJ, what about Baker Mayfield? And depending on how you feel about Baker, that might be appealing to you or not. That was more of a hypothetical because there was always a thought that the Bucs would come to an agreement with them. That was always possible. As it stands right now, Baker saying no more negotiating. It's all about ball going forward. I'm not going to answer any more questions about it. So perhaps Baker Mayfield will be someone that either enters free agency next year or gets a giant deal from the Bucks because he has a big year. That's what he's saying. Look, he said something along the lines of, it's just gonna hurt more when I have a big year and you have to pay me. I will tell Baker Mayfield that is those are the words that Tyler Herro said.
Well, yeah.
when the Heat didn't give him an extension when they were able to, and of course now he's a Milwaukee Buck. What are you pointing to?
Baker needs that chip. That chip
he
on
does
that
need
shoulder.
A chip on the shoulder. Maybe the Bucks know more than they're letting on. Baker needs to feel disrespected as opposed to compensated.
Yeah,
and they'll get the best Baker they can.
I mean, if I'm the GM of the Bucks, I might actually just be like, look around, just be like, actually, let's not pay him so we get an awesome year from him, and then we'll just pay him after the season.
Yeah, has he sat down?
Or franchise him. Yeah, you know, he's of that level where you can you know, mess around with this contract a little bit. He's not so good. He's not Lamar Jackson where it's like, just get the deal done.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, let's play some mental games with him.
Yeah, he said that he's been told he's a franchise quarterback. He believes he's a franchise quarterback.
Not paid like
he said he's been told publicly and personally that he's a franchise quarterback by the Bucks, and they're not paying him in that way. So now it's just about ball for him and the Bucks. We'll see what Baker has. If it's a revenge tour against his own front office, we'll see. All right, let's get to Adam Schefter. No newsbreaker, the big newsbreaker in the NFL. He is under a bit of fire for his level of reporting on the Kyle Shanahan situation, but the checks were still clear for Adam Schefter. He'll be fine. Here's Schefter on Pat McAfee on a potential Stroud contract extension.
The organization is absolutely behind him, and the organization would like to get him re-signed to a contract. And even though he did not walk in with the swagger and the aura that people are looking for, the Texans are behind the guy. Like, he's their quarterback moving forward, and I think they're going to try to move ahead with a contract extension this summer. And again, Nick Caserio, the Texans general manager, came out this morning and said that they've had conversations. They want to get that deal done. It doesn't sound like they've made a whole lot of progress yet, but I think it's something the Texans are going to keep trying to work at. And boy, I had no idea that walking into a training facility would cause all kinds of reactions like that.
Well, I think people are frustrated.
So you heard Schefter initially talk about the way he walked in, because that was the preamble McAfee and his crew were talking about how CJ looked. It's a thing where they go, hey, it's really unfair that they're talking about him this way while they continue to play the video.
Yeah, knowing like 3 minutes of them talking.
Yeah,
about.
And the video just keeps playing and playing and playing. So Schefter, he's one of the few people in the NFL circles who had not seen the video.
Challenge flag.
You don't believe him, huh?
How plugged in of an insider are you?
If you don't know that video is out there.
Come on, dude. Come on.
Hey, he protected Kyle Shanahan, allegedly.
And now he's protecting CJ Stroud.
Apparently.
And his connection to David Mulligetta. That's what he's doing right there. No.
Yeah.
I just like the idea that he lives in a world where he can reference Nick Caserio's comments from earlier that morning,
but had not seen the most viral NFL video
he
going.
Needed all 17 people on the McAfee show to comment and describe the CJ Stroud video.
Yeah. I mean, good points. Good points. How he saw one but missed the other.
I just don't know. You know, your algorithm it's a fire hose of Texans content.
Yeah.
He apparently has figured out how to
only hear from Nick Caserio in terms of contract stuff. No other Texans stuff he gets. You know what? You're making a point.
Plugged in.
Some insider. I bet Ian Rappaport saw that video.
Oh, yeah, Rapp probably quote tweeted it on a burner.
Oh, man.
This guy looks like a bag of milk.
Baby Huey.
looks like the kid whose hands are sticky.
Oh, yeah. I had not seen that one. Just go out there and ball, CJ. It'll be fine.
Yeah,
contract-wise, oral-wise, as you heard, Adam Schefter, he should probably never say that. But
he has like a 16-year-old daughter. I'm sure that's how he learned.
And you know what? If she saw that clip, she's like, please, Dad, don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it goes. But so the Texans would like to, but you heard Schefter say, as far as the contract is concerned, that he's unsure about the progress. That means there hasn't been much progress. He's one of those guys who's going to drop breadcrumbs if a deal is getting closer.
Yeah.
This is a guy who likely knows that there hasn't been much agreement on the value of the quarterback.
Yeah, because we've talked about it at different points this offseason. I think we talked about it at some point yesterday, between 7 and noon yesterday. We talked about...
Who knows what we talked about
that
those 5 hours.
The Texans right now actually are the team, or are the party that's more likely to want to get a deal done in this negotiation, because they, you know, with how he ended the season, how he ended the postseason last year, that the market for him is probably a little bit lower than it has been in the past. And I remember after his rookie year, we did segments about, like, is CJ Stroud going to make $60 million? Is he going to be the first guy to make $60 million when he comes up? And now that seems pretty silly to bring it up. In fact, John Granato brought it up yesterday as a joke, essentially, that he's going to get $60 million. So I think if you're CJ Stroud at this point, you don't want to lock yourself into whatever deal the Texans are offering, because if you do go out there and ball out, and honestly, if you just have like a season like you did last season, a regular season like last season, and then a normal playoff, like plus two more games of that level of play in the postseason, or three or four if they make the Super Bowl, then you are gonna get top five kind of quarterback money. So right now, if I'm Nick Casario, yeah, I want to sign him to a deal because I can probably get a discount on it.
Yeah, get yourself in the range of we talked about yesterday.
Baker Mayfield.
Daniel
money.
Jones. Well, yeah. I don't know that CJ agrees to Baker Mayfield money, but Daniel Jones money, which is like $44 million dollars a year.
And he's like, what, 13th in the league, something like that?
Yeah, something like that. We talked about that yesterday. So we'll go to break with that. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. This is what it is, everybody. Football's here. There'll be a lot of Texan stuff. The news that came out of camp yesterday beyond the CJ pick was Keelan Rutledge isn't being gifted the center job. He is working in with the ones and certain team portions, but Jake Andrews is still in the mix for that. The expectation is your first rounder is going to take that job. The Texans, at least at this moment, aren't in line with just handing it to their rookie guard turned center. When we get back, we'll talk about some corruption and how there's been some pushback pretty quickly in the world of soccer. We'll get to that when we come back. So we are almost done with the first hour of the show, so we'll do this and go to break here to wrap up hour one. I mentioned corruption in soccer, which is not surprising. It is soccer, particularly when FIFA, the governing body, is involved. And FIFA was trying to sell off portions of the World Cup. There's some tie-ins to the president's family. One of the Kushner children is involved, and FIFA, particularly backed by, or at least this is Gianni Infantino's plan, or Johnny Soccer, as I believe the president calls him, wanted to sell off a 21% stake in the World Cup to private investors. As I mentioned, there are some connections to the president's family. And Europe has said, nah, we're good. And what I mean by that is the UEFA, which is Europe's governing body for soccer, got every member, which means every country in UEFA, to say, we're not going to participate in any FIFA-backed event if you do this. All 55 UEFA members, have agreed to boycott the men's and women's World Cup as a protest against Gianni Infantino's plan to sell off that stake. So there were conversations about how commercialized the World Cup was, the one that just passed, because of the hydration breaks and everything else, the Balogun red card, they people were claiming corruption. This was a step too far. And particularly because no one was consulted. This plan was dropped on everyone's head. And the biggest and likely most powerful of all the governing bodies, at least federations of world football, said, nah, not for us. You can do what you want, but you're not having a World Cup with us if you try to get this off.
And I'll tell you something else. They're not having a World Cup without UEFA either.
Not,
so
not a chance.
This is like the Big Ten and SEC being
saying,
like, nuh-uh,
yeah.
to something.
To have a World Cup without the big European countries is not a World Cup.
Yeah.
And the World Cup is going to be in Europe. coming
that,
up.
That so that feels like it would complicate.
That's a big problem.
Well, yes.
That's a big problem. So as it stands, we will see what happens. Is this just a ploy to get themselves their own cut or a bigger cut? Because I heard someone talk about this, and UEFA has challenged FIFA on things like this in the past, and it has wound up getting UEFA a bigger cut of of some of money. So that is this this could be it, or someone finally taking a stand and going, you know what, guys? Yeah, this is a money making venture, but you're taking it to a level where you're taking you're certainly taking the game away from us and giving it over 21% stake to a private investment to private investment. We're not going to have it. So right now, as it stands, the World Cup that may be expanding to 64, but at least would be 48, would not have the participation of the 55 UEFA members. So there would be no qualifying. There would be none of it. It would just, as it stands, be a South American, CONCACAF, African, and Asian World Cup, which I doubt they go on with. I don't think that's a thing. You're not because the
Pochettino, if you don't make it out of the round of 16
now
without the Europeans. Well,
yeah. If that you know, the US were like, you know what? We'd love less obstacles.
Yeah, wait, this is just whatever.
Yeah, but
Gold Cup Plus.
But it does hurt the TV rights.
Yes,
countries obviously. Like England,
Germany,
and Germany,
England, France.
I was going to say Italy, but they don't make World Cups anymore. And Spain and Portugal aren't in it. It's true.
No, it's been a while.
Yeah.
I think there's a chance that UEFA wants a little
extra.
A little, yeah. I mean, we don't agree with the deal as presently constituted.
Now, if you come off a couple bucks and hand them to us.
This is still the sport and the region of the world in the sport where they tried to get the Super League off like 5 years ago. And the people rose up.
So not a chance.
That's where it's different than college football, where like the people aren't exactly taken to the streets to be against, you know, be against the playoff expansion. Like, that's not a thing we do here. That is very much a thing that they do over there. So, we'll see how it goes. FIFA historically has touted itself as a nonprofit.
Yeah.
So I don't know why there's an investment opportunity in a nonprofit. They're not going to make any profit.
Couldn't say, Sean.
That seems weird to me. But corruption, soccer,
hand in hand.
Business as usual.
Yeah. And we'll see if this stance by UEFA goes worldwide. But the most powerful of all the federations has said, not for us. We will see if other ones now jump on, like, hey, if they're doing it, you know what? We should do it too. It'll look good if we jump in too.
Yeah, let's win some points.
Yeah. So.
Meanwhile, if I'm CONCACAF, I'm like, I am against corruption everywhere. As long as I am not getting a piece of it. that video.
Yeah, that video, yeah. I think we played it terms of the Balogun situation. Yeah. So that's where it stands. We'll wrap up our one with that. There is corruption, there is pushback, and we will see if the pushback wins today, or is there some type of mediation where money exchanges hands and all of a sudden all 55 countries are back in when it comes to the World Cup. But taking a stand as it stands now. All right, we'll go to break, and we will get into another conversation about money and sports. This one has to do with golf. And it's really a question of, I guess, where your morality is. Maybe that's the way to position it. But we've got something positioned as a prank. But if it happened to me, it's up for life. That's all I'm saying. We'll play the audio from the person snitching on themselves when we come back.
ESPN
97.5.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better, and that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.